I am going to the Father, and I will perform even greater works. And our Lord has gone to the Father and prepared a place for us. Last week's Gospel, and this almost kind of goes back to back, our Lord is the Good Shepherd, for God alone is goodness, and he calls us by name. We belong to God by name because we're baptised by our name. We don't go to heaven as a community, a group or a herd. We go as individuals. He calls us by name. He summons us one by one. And we follow because we hear his voice. The voice we've heard for years in our prayer. The voice of conscience. The voice of intimacy. The voice of consolation. So the sheep follow the shepherd because they know each other. One cares for the other and one is summoned by the other. And we will be summoned to our place. And God has prepared that place for us. In fact, it's in preparation as I speak. Eternity and the life hereafter is something we should fathom, ponder and wonder about often. Heaven and hell, salvation and damnation are realities. And behind all that is this tremendous thought that heaven's already beginning, or hell, depending on how we live, because we are spiritual temples. And that's what the first and second reading illustrate. It talks about the royal and the ministerial priesthood. We are living stones. In the time of our Lord, the temple was the place of worship because within the temple lay the presence of God. We are that temple. Because our body is the temple containing within the presence of God by virtue of sanctifying grace. And around the presence of God are the three great virtues, faith, hope, and charity, or love. So we are God's temples. We belong to what we call the royal priesthood. And that's what this text from St. Peter is referring to, the holy priesthood. Once baptized, you belong to God. You become a priest, a prophet, and a king, like Christ. And of all of those baptized, with the presence of God lying within, God calls some to the ministerial priesthood, holy orders. And that's the first reading. They select seven holy deacons and the hands are laid on them as bishops to today the priests. And they are consecrated, set apart for the ministerial priesthood. But notice they're drawn in the royal priesthood. We all belong to that. And God's presence is real and active. And the Lord, in explaining this to Thomas, who isn't so much doubting but wants hard facts, and Philip is always seeking another way, he explains, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. And this all fits together if we line up the correct words. I'll try to do it in the bulletin. Faith, hope, and love. Priest, prophet, and king. Way, truth, and light. Can you work which ones go with which? Our Lord is the truth, that's faith. And prophets teach that. Parents are prophets to their children. They instruct them in the truth of faith. And of course, once you have faith, you then desire God. You're on the way. Truth first, the way second. And to arrive, you have to have hope in your heart. And if you are hopeful in your heart, you tend to pray. Hence the royal priesthood, pray, persevering, on the way, as pilgrims. But of course, what's good is the candle with wax and the wick unless it's lit. What good is faith and hope unless it leads to charity, works of mercy. Charity is the service, the royal service, priest, prophet and king. Faith, hope, but then we must serve others. A true king is one of service, thinking of others, being there for others, and that's the works of mercy for the body and the soul. Charity within. And with that charity comes, as I said, sanctifying grace, the presence of God. So you can see we are on earth as pilgrims of faith, hope and charity, preparing our way for eternity when God will summon us by name and we will follow his voice. Because we've heard his voice, we know his voice, and we want now to go to the place prepared for us. What will it be like?
heaven?
Well, it won't be anything like this world. And any idea about heaven, violins, harps, angels, cherubs, floating on clouds, is utter and complete nonsense. We say that for our children's sake, but heaven's far greater, far more exhilarating. It's going to be a source of not just happiness, but intimacy and bliss and ecstasy that won't ever dry up or become boring. Heaven will never be boring. Hell will be a place of annihilation in the sense that unfulfilled loneliness, abandonment, emptiness. Heaven's fulfillment, utter complete joy in the Lord. Our bodies too will be completely transformed. Everybody at the end of time will receive their body back. Those who are not saved have chosen to go to their own place. God sends no one to hell, we send ourselves there. Their body won't be one of glory, but one of suffering, one of misery. Those who are holy, listed among the saints, who have entered eternal glory with God, will have a body like the transfigured body of the Lord, or the resurrected body of Christ, which has four properties, according to St. Thomas Aquinas. The four properties we shall have in our glorious body, the first I can't wait for. It's called impassibility, which means our bodies will never have pain, or suffering, or tiredness, or aches, or pimples, or anything. Our bodies will never have that drudgery that we have when we're tired and fed up and worn, and we want to have some breakfast and go back to bed, and it's cold. No, that's all gone. That's this life. We endure it, we put up with it, because in the next life our bodies will be ones of utter comfort. Secondly, our body will have what we call subtility. That means it won't be contained by matter. Our Lord could just walk through doors. He could just appear before people. Matter didn't contain him, nor was he fixed with regards to his facial features. He could appear at the garden of this person, as a fellow traveller to those people. You'd be able to transform yourself in a way that we can't imagine. There'll be a metamorphosis of your physical nature according to your will. Thirdly, your body will have what we call agility. It will be agile in the sense that it can go anywhere at any time. Space and place won't limit your body. If you want to go somewhere, you're there. Because in the next life, our bodies are subservient to our souls. In this life, it's the other way around, but in the next life, no. And that's why people think we'll be like angels, but we won't be, because we shall have a body. And the last aspect of our body is clarity. So we have agility, subtility, and then clarity. Clarity means our bodies will glow. They'll be like the transfigured body of the Lord. It will give off the light of Christ, now reaching its fullness within. We see a torchlight, a candle inside a vase, it glows. Well, so too we shall glow, but we'll glow differently. Heaven's not like this is a community all on the same playing field. It'll be more like a football match in the sense of different levels. You'll notice some people will glow as saints, give off a more brilliant light than others. And that's what we call the indwelling of God's presence. It shall be brighter in holier souls because they live the more heroic life here. They love more here. They did more works of mercy here, and therefore their merit, their crown of glory, will be brighter there. So to inherit hell, the levels of suffering and pain, according to Dante and other writers, will be different according to what they didn't do that they should have done. And that's a motive to do works of mercy, so that our crown of righteousness for all eternity will be brighter and more brilliant. And so that's the clarity that will come in the body and the soul at the end of time. These are all realities that are testified to in the scriptures that we can understand. Let us think about them at times of trial and torment. And one person who did that and now has a crown of glory in heaven is St. Rita. It's her feast day during the week. She's not that well known in Australia, but she's the patron saint of hopeless cases, especially among the Italians. She was a mother, a wife, a widow, a nun, and a mystic. Her life was one of just complete suffering at times. She married her two boys, her husband was assassinated, her two boys died, she tried to enter the convent, they rejected her. She eventually became a hermit, she was allowed in, but then she had the mark of wounds and cross body inflicted upon her, and she was outcast to a cave at the back. Her life was complete misery at times, and yet she never lost sight of the big goal, the big picture, that God was preparing a place for her. And now from heaven she's helping many on earth, solving their problems, helping them in their suffering. So let us bear that in mind. The presence of God lies with him. We're on a journey, and our Lord has already prepared a place for us.
Praise to Jesus Christ.